Tonight our study takes the theme of spending like a king. Spending like a king. And it will focus on a word, dipano. We find that in various places in the New Testament. And it's basically a word that means to incur cost. However, there is that spending that is wisely done and willingly. There is that spending that is done wastefully, foolishly. But when we think about spending like a king, first let me give you some introductory thoughts before we go to our study in particular. And before that, I would ask that you bow your head with me for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you as we again look into the Scripture. Speak to us, teach us, help us, Lord, to carry something for our souls out of here tonight and bring glory to yourself in the week ahead. For Jesus' sake, amen. First place I'd like to have you look is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. And the first thing we would like you to think about is this. Regardless of the amount of your resources, we all or most people will spend on our health. Our health. In Mark chapter 5, for example, we have this account beginning at verse number 25. Mark chapter 5 says, there a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians. And of course, in that day, the Jewish physicians, and I small p, quote, were notorious for their snake oil remedies and their superstitious application of different things so as to treat physical ailments and like that. So when it says she suffered many things of many physicians, you have that to consider. And it says there in verse 26, she spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And of course, not relevant to our study tonight, I just point out to you that this woman on her health spent all. She spent all. People get hurting enough, desperate enough, frustrated enough, they're going to spend what they need to spend to get better. In Luke's gospel, we have an account in Luke 15 where we spend on our happiness. Luke 15. And of course, this falls into the line of thinking of treasure when it comes to spending. We spend on our health, we spend on our happiness, and in Luke 15 at verse 13 and following. Speaking of the prodigal, him it is said, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land and he began to be in want. In both cases, whether on health or our happiness, the individual spent all. In this particular case, on riotous hedonistic living. Now, James counsels us in James chapter 4, verse 3, where he says, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may, and then he uses the word consume it, that you may consume it upon your lusts. You may consume it upon your lusts. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. Job also addresses the subject. And this, and here he points out that not only is treasure a commodity to be spent wisely or wastefully, but time is a commodity that can be spent. Job says in Job 21 verse 13, these words, it speaks of the wicked. He speaks of the wicked. And when he says they spend, literally consume their days in wealth. And in a moment, they go down to the grave. Now, that's a sobering perspective of the reality of mortality, and it strikes much of what we see in the New Testament teaching in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, where you have that philosophy of life that manifests in every generation, where you have eat, drink, and be merry. But the truth of the matter is, where time is concerned, speaking of the wicked, it is said that he spends or he consumes their days in wealth. Sobering it is. And so when we come to that place in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, if you're there yet in Luke's Gospel, look at chapter 12. For our visitor tonight, we are addressing spending like a king. Glad to have you. Luke chapter 12, 16 to 21. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall these things be which thou hast provided? And the summary thought is in verse 21, so is he that layeth up treasure for himself. And circle the word himself. And if you've been reading or paying attention in the verses that I just read, you will note over and over and over again the repetition of the word I. Because essentially, here is an example of a person who spends on himself. On himself. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, we have that famous question asked. In Matthew chapter 16, I'm almost finished with the intro here. Matthew 16, at verse number 26. Matthew 16, verse 26, For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And of course, the answer is obvious. And it seems the context in each of these cases that we've cited points to at least some degree of wasteful spending. There is, however, another consideration. And it has to do not only with the treasure that we speak of and the time element, but the talent aspect. Because we can spend to help. If we can spend on our health, if we can spend on our happiness, we can spend, and profitably so, spend to help others. The Apostle Paul, for example, uses this word in 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. If you'll look there with me, please. Then we're going to come back to the kings here in a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The apostle says this, and I will very gladly spend. That word's there. I will very gladly spend and be spent. Literally, I'm willing to empty out my pockets. But he was speaking to more than this treasure. He's speaking about his time and his talent. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Very gladly spend and be spent. The spirit of the Good Samaritan is another example. And that account, of course, is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 33 to 35. Let me just give you the nuts and bolts of that. You can just hold your spot here for a moment. But you know the story just the same as I do. The Samaritan, and at that time and in context, they were notorious for having an allergy where the Jews are concerned and vice versa. But as he's making his way on his trip, He comes across a man that two Jews passed by, who had passed by another Jew who had been robbed and beaten and left for dead. And so he takes pity on this guy. He takes him to the inn. He puts down two pence, a good sum. And here's the instructions that he gave to the proprietor of the inn. Whatever, and I'm paraphrasing, whatever you spend more, I will repay. I'll reimburse. So we can spend to help others. And it will be also seen refreshingly when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, when we take note that in John chapter 10, verse 11, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep, or we can say it without stretching, the good shepherd spent his life for the sheep. How much did he spend? Just like the apostle Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. Jesus was willing to spend and be spent. Matthew's gospel records in the 20th chapter, verse 28, that he came to spend so as to save. Now think about that. He came to spend so as to save. Seems rather contradictory. He came to spend so as to save. You remember the statement that was made to Pilate during the trial and the crucifixion, prior to the crucifixion? The Lord Jesus said to Pilate, he says, For this cause came I into the world, that I might bear witness unto the truth. To serve in any capacity along that line, for that cause will cost you who involve yourself everything. Whether it be your treasure, whether it be your time, whether it be your talent. And of course, as the Samaritan, he said, whatever you spend more, I will repay, even as does the Lord. Now, the concept is this. The Old Testament teaches us this principle that he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth, and there's a word cool, that's a cool word. Lendeth means to twist around or to bind or entwine, to pull together. And listen to the rest of the verse. In Proverbs 19:17, he that hath pity upon the poor lendeth, there's the key word, unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. You can't ever, even if you gave everything you had, treasure, time, and talent, and you spent it all, you can't possibly measure up or not expect that God would bless the spirit and the act and the action of that. In Ecclesiastes, the 11th chapter, it is simply said, and this is the subject of greetings cards and plaques and so forth, was cast your bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. When we are family members and children of the king who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, we need not be concerned with the spending so long as we spend it purposefully in the will of God. We are reminded again of the apostle Paul's words to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6, where he says, he that soweth, or he that spendeth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now, spending like a king, let's speak to the kings. In the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, let's go there and park for a bit. 2 Chronicles, chapter 35, you have King Josiah. On the occasion of the celebration of the Passover, I begin reading at verse 1. Moreover, Josiah kept the Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem, and they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their charges and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord, and said to the Levites that taught all Israel, which were holy unto the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, did build. It shall not be a burden upon your shoulders. Serve now the Lord your God and his people, Israel. Prepare yourself by the houses of your fathers, after your courses, according to the writing of David, king of Israel, and according to the writing of Solomon, his son. Stand in the holy place, according to the divisions of the families of the fathers of your brethren, the people, after the division of the families of Levites. Please notice that there is structure in this celebration. It is not every man doing that which pleaseth him, or as it is right in his own eyes, but there's structure ordained by God for the people during this celebratory occasion. Said verse 6, so kill the Passover, sanctify yourselves, prepare your brethren that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Now please notice in verse 7 and 8. And Josiah, see what he does now. King Josiah says he gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These, notice now the last part of that verse, these were of the king's substance. And then in verse 8, and his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests, to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. I just point out two things. Josiah the king establishes a benchmark where it is that of his own substance he gave lavishly for this occasion. And following his example, the princes gave willingly unto the people. Two things there. Now, please go from there backwards to 2 Chronicles 30. 2 Chronicles 30. On the same occasion, Hezekiah, different king now, Passover time. And is, does the Passover have any relevance to the New Testament church? And we would say, well, yes, it does. Christ is our Passover. And when we come together at the Lord's table, it is a memorial that points back to its historical reference point at the Passover. Now, we do not sacrifice beasts here on the occasion because the animal or the sacrifice, literally, the Lamb of God was already sacrificed. He's our Passover. So it does have some relevance that will become apparent here. But in the 30th chapter, beginning at verse number 24, Hezekiah, king of Judah, did, and next word is, he did give. Now, you, any place you see give, you can apply rightly without stretching the word or the truth, spend, incur cost. Hezekiah, king of Judah, did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks, 7,000 sheep, and the princes gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 sheep, and a great number of priests sanctified themselves. And all the congregation of Judah, with the priests and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwelt in Judah, did what? They rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there was not like the like in Jerusalem. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, even unto heaven. Occasion again, the Passover. Please note that the king sets the pace. He sets the tone. He gave. He gave lavishly. Followed by, in like order, with the same spirit and attitude, those underneath. Please notice another occasion. Would you go back to I think it's 2 Chronicles 7. Hope I'm not being dyslexic here. 2 Chronicles 7, where the occasion, or the king is, of course, Solomon, son of David. In 2 Chronicles 7, let me begin reading at verse number 1. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down, you know, fire is an impressive thing. Fire is really an impressive thing. I'm reminded that when the church was birthed, there in the book of Acts, there came fire. Fire was part and parcel of that birth occasion. Fire is an impressive thing. Here we have the fire of God coming down, and it makes an impress. All the children of Israel saw the fire, the glory of the Lord upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped. Praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people did what? It says they offered sacrifices. Then verse 5 says, regarding Solomon, King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. So you have Josiah, you have Hezekiah, you have this reference to Solomon. We understand a little bit now what it means to be spending like a king. They spent lavishly, but the motivation was and was related to the glory of God. Think again. If we go back into 1 Chronicles 29. 1 Chronicles 29, here's David, King David, making an offering for the temple. Beginning at the first verse, 1 Chronicles 29. Furthermore, King David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon, my son, whom alone God hath chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. Now I have prepared with all my might. Please notice how this spending pattern, this spending like a king. King David is said to have prepared with all his might. That involves some planning. That involves a purpose. That eliminates any sniff whatever of impropriety or waste. Look what he did. I prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones. Last word in the verse is in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have, and please notice what he says in verse 3, I have of my own proper good of gold and silver, which I have, and the next word is, given, spent, incurred a cost. I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. This that he gives in verse 3 goes above and beyond everything else that is mentioned there in the previous verse. It's extra. And it begins to define even of 3,000 talents of gold. The gold of Ophir, 7,000 talents of refined silver, to overlay the walls of the houses withal, the gold for things of gold, the silver for things of silver, for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing, key word now, who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? There involves the time and the talent. Not only is the treasure in play, but the others as well. Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and hundreds with the rulers of the king's work, last two words said to what? Offered willingly, spent willingly. And verse 7 concludes by them saying, they gave for the service of the house of God. That's why they did this. They gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents, 10,000 drams, and silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found did what? Next word. Gave them to the treasure of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel, the Gershonite. Then verse 9 caps it all off. Spirit and attitude. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly, because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. That is essential. To the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. And so we have David, we have Solomon, we have Hezekiah and Josiah. We see what it is to spend like a king, but we don't really get a crystal clear picture until we come back to the New Testament and we find our way to conclude tonight in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's finish there tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We find in verse 8, 2 Corinthians 8, 8, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 8, I speak not by commandment. You know, spending or giving is never to be on the basis of commandment. Translated, it should never be a thing forced. Never a thing legislated. And so you have, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. And then verse 9, giving like a king. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because everything comes back to Him now, doesn't it? Every model we apply to this subject comes back to Him. And here it is said in this verse, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. To spend like this king is to spend like a king. Whether it has reference to your treasures, or whether it's regard to your time or your talent, because all three of them are a commodity that God stewards us with. And we are to be good stewards over all that God has placed in our hands. And whatever we go about to spend, spend wisely. Spend wisely, and more importantly, willingly. If giving ever is a forced action on your part, or it is done out of a guilty conscience. You know, the offering plate gets passed, and you have in your hand your loose change. You reach in your pocket, you pull out a handful of loose change. You've come to church, you don't want to not give anything. Here comes the offering plate, and you see the people out of the side, I mean, you're not looking or gawking, but you see out of the side of your eyes, the peripheral vision, people putting in bills, you know, a big wad. I mean, wads, the guy's got gum band around it, plops it in the plate, and here you are with your handful of change. And you know as soon as you dump that in the plate, it's going to make a racket. And so you stick that change back in your pocket and you reach into your wallet and you pull out there, pop it down. Now your conscience is salved and you feel better. But that giving was compulsory. That was done out of an obligation of guilt. Not good. Give wisely, give willingly. Spend like a king. Take as your model our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when he uses the word poor and poverty in this reference, he's talking about the kind of poverty that reduces a man to begging for his very existence. Begging. An awesome challenge for each of us to consider while we live, work, and serve for our Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the clarity of your scriptures. We realize, Lord, that in spite of our best intentions and our greatest efforts, we, on our very best of days, fall so very far short. So help us, Lord. May all that we do be profoundly forwarded by grace. Grace alone. And we pray, dear Heavenly Father, your richest blessings on those who've been in attendance tonight. We ask, Lord, for your mercy upon them for the balance of the evening, safety as they go home. And we pray, dear God, use each of us to your glory this week. Help us, Lord, to engage and to make impact in the lives of others for Jesus' sake. Amen.